And welcome to the second hour of Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealer Studios. Jeff Palermo, news and sports director of Louisiana Radio Network, along with the executive editor for Tiger Rag Magazine, Todd Horn, and the editor, Glenn Gilbo. Andre Champagne, our producer tonight, who also does great work for Louisiana Radio Network and Tiger Rag Radio. Coming up a little bit later on, Caroline Fenton will join us, talk some women's hoops with her. But let's bring in a member of the coaching staff for the LSU women's basketball team, Jill Schwartz. Lady Tigers getting ready to play Duke in the Sweet 16 on Friday night at 9 o'clock. Going to be a late one for LSU fans to watch this one coming up on Friday from Sacramento. Jill, thanks a lot for being a part of the show tonight. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Thank y'all for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, it's great to have you on. What a performance this past weekend to really jump on both of those teams early, never really give them an opportunity to get into the game. I mean, could you have played any better than what you played in those first two games of this NCAA tournament?
Well, it was a fun weekend in the PMAC. It was a great atmosphere. And one thing we always talk about early in the season when we set our goals for the year is finishing in the top part of our league so we have the opportunity to host those first two games at home. Give yourself an opportunity to play in front of a home crowd who we think is one of the best home crowds in all of women's college basketball. So check that goal off. And then when you get to those two games at home, just like you said, you want to put those teams away early, leave them no hope. And I think we did just that, starting with the Jacksonville game on Friday afternoon. I think we did a really good job of executing offensively. Our defense was very, very good. And, you know, some people who don't know much about basketball probably look and say, oh, 2 versus 15, this should be a blowout. But go look at the other scores across the bracket, and you're not seeing massive blowouts like ours was. And then for us to follow it up on Sunday afternoon in front of a packed house, with a great crowd, great atmosphere, another 50-point win against a really, really good Texas Tech team. It was special. We got a lot of work to do this week, but obviously it's nice to still be one of the 16 teams playing right now. And even though we've got to adapt to the time change and sit around for a few days, there's other options that other teams have, and that is being at home, not playing. So the fact that we're still playing right now and playing really good basketball on both ends of the floor is really exciting.
Hey, Joe, this is Andre. I know y'all were on fire scoring-wise, but that wouldn't have been possible without the defense that y'all played this weekend. So talk about that defensive effort that you saw this weekend from the ladies.
I think the biggest key to our defense this weekend was being intentional, and that started in practice. One thing about the NCAA tournament is, when you finish your SEC tournament, you got a full week of nothing. And you take a couple of days off, you get back on the practice court, and you work on yourself. And we were working on ball screen defense. We were working on different game situations. We were working on executing in the half court, running in transition, just all the little things about ourselves that needed to be touched up and fixed after the SEC tournament. So then you have Selection Sunday, you find out who you're going to be matched up with and what that first round game, and then if you're fortunate enough to win the first round game, what that second game could look like. And so we broke it down into really three parts after Selection Sunday. We actually worked on Texas Tech the Monday and Tuesday after the selection show, just to, if chalk held, knowing that Texas Tech was a higher seed, that's who we would play. And then on Wednesday, we worked on Villanova because they were Texas Tech's opponent. Thursday, we presented the scouting report on Jacksonville and worked on Jacksonville. And then Friday, we beat Jacksonville. So it wasn't raining when Noah built his ark. You've got to be prepared for what other teams may throw at you. And we had enough confidence in our team that we were going to take care of business against Jacksonville. And we wanted to be prepared for anything and everything that Texas Tech or Villanova had to offer. And obviously after a big win on Friday, you can't do much on the practice court on Saturday. You can walk through, you can watch film, but you can't have a 2 or 3 hour practice. And so we got a lot of work done in the film room. And then, man, Sunday, we came out guns blazing from the tip. I think we started 10-0. and we took Texas Tech out of everything they did on the offensive end. Now, they threw in a couple threes. There were a couple questionable calls that led to some free throws early on, but Texas Tech's a good team, and they had some really good wins in the Big 12 this year, and they beat some good teams in non-conference. So we knew that we were going to have a game on our hands if we didn't come out ready to play. And, man, it was a sight to see. Just defensively holding a team like Texas Tech to 47 points was their season low. Talking on defense, communicating with each other, communicating with the coaching staff on matchups, and then just the level of execution, ball screen defense, transition defense. It all starts with defense, because as you go out to California now, you hope your offense travels, but the only chance that we can really count on winning or having a chance to win these next two games is our defense. We hope we make shots, but you got to control what you can control, and that starts on the defensive end. And I think we're really locked in right now. Our players are in a good place, and I think just a high level of excitement, knowing that, like I said, we're one of the last 16 teams remaining, and we feel like we still have some work to do.
Yeah, and just kind of sticking with that defensively, that defense leads to transition buckets, which is, you know, the bread and butter of Coach Mulkey's philosophy. So I guess talk about what have you seen from this team's ability to score in transition and how that compares to years prior that you've been here in Baton Rouge. It just feels like this year they're really able to run.
Well, I think a lot of that comes with our guards and committing to running. I think in years past, we've had some really dominant post play with Angel and Anissa, and we like to work through the post. Now, don't get me wrong. We still like to run our offense through our post. We've got to have good post play to have a chance to win games. But when you don't have to run offense and set up in the half court, it's so much more exciting, and it allows your guards to do what they do best, and that's get out and run and make layups and showtime. I mean, we call ourselves the show, and it's not to boast or brag about who we are. It's literally our style of play. It's behind-the-back passes. It's running out after a long rebound. It's one through four players bringing it up the court, and it allows us to, one, have other teams on their heels, because when you've got someone like Jada or Malaysia pushing the ball up the floor, and then wings like Flage, Michaela, Bella running, it gets you easy opportunities to score or get to the free throw line. And I think that's one thing that needs to be highlighted as well. The past two games were plus 23 and plus 17 from the free throw line. And if you're getting to the foul line that much and making them, I think we shot 83% in the first round and 92 or 93% in the second round. Like, if you're making and shooting that many free throws, you're going to look up at the end of the game and you're going to be pretty happy with what you see on that scoreboard.
Yeah, and usually, Joe, in the NCAA tournament, upperclassmen leadership is crucial, right? So with Flage and Michaela heating up, can you talk about how crucial it is for both of them to be efficient kind of moving forward, especially during this weekend against, you know, possibly, you know, obviously Duke is a team that's been here before. They've had tournament experience, and then, you know, just the possibility of playing another team. You know, I don't want to look too far down the line, but you do have to look forward to playing UCLA or whoever they may take on. But just talk about, I think y'all are 7-1 in games that they score 15-plus. So just talk about those two and how crucial they are going to be this weekend.
Well, they're going to be very crucial. And I think they've made a concerted effort to really take over the locker room from a leadership standpoint. One, because they've been there, and two, because that's just how bad they want to win. And they're true competitors, and they don't want to see this thing end with a loss. And you know what? There's still some really, really good teams out there. But we can't worry about what's going on in the other three regions. We've got to take care of our region, and that starts with Duke, like you said. And the two of them, we go as they go. And Flage has been a great leader this year. And being able to pull Michaela with her and basically say, hey, I'm on this last ride with you, but I got to get you ready for your last ride, which is next year. And I think the conversations that Flage and Michaela have in the film room, team meetings, going to dinner with the team, just making sure the chemistry this time of year is at an all-time high is the most important thing. We know how talented the two of those are. And if you can get them to be productive, but also bring some players with them. I thought our freshmen played so well this weekend, and that was important for them to not only gain some NCAA tournament confidence, but it allows Flage and Michaela to look up now as we get out to California and say, hey, our freshmen are ready. We got dogs on our team, and we recruited these kids to play in games like this. We recruited Zakiah Johnson and Grace Knox to bang with the best post and to run. They can guard down low. They can rebound. But what teams aren't going to be ready for is how quickly they get up and down the court. And they've got so much room for growth. But their ability to just follow Michaela and Flage is special. And I think like you were talking about Flage and Michaela scoring, yeah, that's important when they're scoring, but we're not relying on them to score. What their scoring does is force teams to make decisions. And there's some hard decisions to make when Flage's got 15, Michaela's got 15, Jada's got 10, Kate has 8, Grace has 6. Like, we've got so many options, and you got to pick and choose who you're going to try and stop. And when we're all clicking, I think you can see how dangerous this team can be. And it starts, like you said, with Flage and Michaela.
Yeah, that's a great point. And just as we have kind of 2 minutes here, just to kind of wrap up, I guess looking forward to this weekend, Joe, what ways has this Duke team improved since y'all played them in December?
Well, I think the one thing is from a confidence standpoint. I think that bigger than anything, after we beat them up there, they rolled off 17 wins in a row, and they win the ACC. They win the ACC tournament. They're playing good basketball right now. But I think the biggest thing is we've got to be us. I think you go back and look at that Duke game, we didn't start great. We got down 17-4, and we turned the ball over a lot. We weren't taking good shots to start the game. So I think a lot of that's keeping our composure. And you've got to know that Duke's going to be extremely motivated. I think Duke thinks they let one slip away. And with a slow start in an elite or in a Sweet 16 game, you don't want to give a team the opportunity to put you away early. Luckily, we were able to come back and beat Duke in that game up there. But I think it's just a high level of respect for each team. Duke's a very good team. They're good defensively. They get out and run. You watch their more recent games. Their transition offense is very good. People want to say that Duke can't score. Well, go watch some tape on them because they get up and down better than most teams. And we're going to have to be good defensively, especially in transition. But Duke shoots some threes. I think they make 6 a game, shoot about 19. So we got to expect some long rebounds on missed shots and get out and run. So I think a lot of it is having a high level of respect for Duke and their players and then doing what we do and see if we can't put ourselves in a position to make it to an Elite Eight game and potentially play to go to a Final Four.
Yeah, just about a minute left here, Joe. Just real quick, in your eyes, what are the biggest keys to beating this team the second time around? I know you kind of talked about it, but that rebounding, it really does seem like that's going to be a really important aspect here, especially I think they had 8 offensive boards against y'all last matchup, but since they do shoot the 3 and they have Fournier, who's really, really good down low, just talk about that real quick.
I think, like you said, it's rebounding, it's taking care of the ball, limiting their second chance shot opportunities and their second chance points, and then, like we always talk about, getting to the foul line. I think we're deep. We've got a deep bench, and we've got kids that can go, and if we get into their bench, I think we're going to like the outcome of the game, but we've got to be aggressive. We can't be passive. We can't expect the game just to go. We've got to set the tone early. It's going to be like a boxing match. That's what we like to kind of relate these things to. It's going to be a 4-round boxing match, and you got to throw punches. You got to take punches. You got to get up, and then hopefully at the end of the quarters, you look up and you've won enough quarters or rounds to advance. So I think taking care of the ball, rebounding, and just being who we are, playing with a level of intensity and just having fun with it, enjoying the moment. And like Flage said, like, you don't know how many more of these you're going to get. And we never take these for granted. 4 straight Sweet 16s and hopefully a chance to move on to an Elite Eight and then potentially a Final Four.
Well, thank you very much, Joe. We really appreciate your time tonight here on Tiger Rag Radio. Best of luck to you and the ladies out west this weekend here in Sacramento.
Well, I appreciate y'all having me. I know it's a late game, so take either drink some coffee, stay up late. It's going to be fun. I'm excited for it, and I know our Tiger fans who aren't making the trip out west are definitely going to enjoy watching us on TV. And the good news is I think it's an early game on Sunday if we're able to advance.
Great insight as always, Joe. Thank you very much, man.
Thank you. Appreciate y'all.
Big thanks to LSU assistant coach Joe Schwartz. We're going to be back here after this break here from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio. This is Tiger Rag Radio.